Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
This is Bulldog Roundtable exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia's own credit union studios at the Buttsmere Building in Athens.
25-20, fourth sideline, 15, 10, 5, get in there, touchdown!
This morning, The Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
It's the only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. And by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. You can't spell Haug without the U, the G, and the A. HaugLawGroup.com.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union studios in the Buttsmere Building in Athens, it's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Oh, and a good Thursday morning to all of you in Dog Nation, coming to you live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union studio, the heartbeat of Dog Nation, and presented by the Haug Law Group. It is indeed the Bulldog Roundtable, and we are into double digits now to kick off between the Dogs and the Clemson Tigers in Charlotte, North Carolina, and everybody in the universe of college football looking forward to that one. And let's get right to it with our good friend Brooks Austin. He's the lead editor for Dogs Daily at SI.com. By the way, you can follow Brooks on Twitter at BrooksAustinSI. And Brooks, what a start to the month of June for Georgia.
Absolutely. And if I may, Chuck, I just want to get this out of the way. I do a lot of these radio stations nowadays. None of them make me nervous except for this one. I got to tell you, I grew up listening to you. I grew up listening to 680 The Fan. And, man, you're a real legend. And, like, I know that, like, my stepfather right now, who I grew up in the car with, I guarantee you right now he's tuned in to 680 The Fan listening to Chuck Dowdle. So I want to get that out of the way and just tell you, man, I've appreciated listening to you over these years, man.
Well, I appreciate that. Since you grew up listening to me, I know you were probably only just 16 years old then.
I'm 26, so close. Yeah, I'm a little, you know, younger than tooth. But, no, it was a crazy June 1st, right, for the University of Georgia.
Yes.
You had over 170 kids on campus for the opening day of camp or visits returning to college football. So you knew Kirby Smart and his staff were going to blow that out of the water, and they did. They opened that new facility that you're standing right next to or near right now, a beautiful building that blew the tops off of all those kids' mind. That's a first visit. Imagine that. First visit back on the recruiting trail in 16 months, and you walk into that brand-new facility. All those kids were highly impressed, and meanwhile, you know, Kirby Smart and his staff are working behind the doors to bring in two massive, much-needed transfers at two critical positions of need heading into this 2021 season.
And how big of an impact will those two have? And, I mean, you're talking about a DB and a tight end, both five stars.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, we'll start with Darian Kendrick. I mean, we knew even leaving the spring game that they needed some help at defensive back. So, with all the attrition that's happened, the turnover on that roster, having six defensive backs leave from last year's roster, that you knew that they were going to have to turn it around and make some additions via the NCAA transfer portal, as Kirby Smart's done in his past. In 2019, he needed a veteran wide receiver. He went out and got Lawrence Cager. He only had one experienced tight end in the room in Charlie Warner. He went out and added Eli Wolf. Last year, he needed some quarterback help. He not only brought in one, he brought in two. So this year, going into this season, he knew, like, hey, we need defensive back help. Well, he brought in three defensive backs. This latest one in Darian Kendrick, I think, along with Tyke Smith, are two plug-and-play starters at positions of absolute need for you. Despite the fact that Latavius Brenea played really well in that Peach Bowl game, for Georgia at the star position, they needed a bona fide, you know, all-American caliber football player as they've had in past seasons at that position, and that's what you bring in Tyke Smith. And Darian Kendrick, you needed another lockdown corner. You entered this season at Georgia, despite all the talent at defensive back, with not a single career start at corner. That's troublesome when you open the season against one of the nation's most, powerhouse programs. An immediate impact for De'Arian. And then as far as, Avery Gilbert goes, you needed to replace some production that you lost in George Pickens. And he may be back towards the end of the season, as you know, Chuck, but you needed a guy that you can trust and rely on to be open. And even if he's not open, to know that he will win those 50-50 balls that JT Daniels will be throwing up to him. So two positions of critical need, and they answered those questions on June 1st.
Brooks, a little bit later on in the show, we're going to be joined by a Georgia legend and a guy here on 680 that you hear every day, and Buck Blue. And I was listening to Buck yesterday with Hudson Mason, and they were talking about Buck was making a good point that Georgia may now have on offense more offensive weapons than any other college football team in the country. Now, I'm sure you might get some pushback in some places, including perhaps Clemson. But nevertheless, I thought Buck made a pretty solid case for that. Would you agree to that?
Yeah, the only one I think that could maybe combat it would be Ohio State's list of weapons up there with the recruiting class that they brought in 2020 at the wide receiver position. But when you take into account the tight end position and the running backs that can do damage out of the backfield, I think Georgia has a very strong case for that argument. In fact, I'm in favor of it. Like Buck says, I mean, they have as many talented weapons as anybody in the country. What the national perspective is, however, is that, none of these guys have really popped onto the national scene. Everyone knows Avery Gilbert. If you watched Georgia closely last year, you know how talented Jermaine Burton is. But when they go to look at that box score scouting, Chuck, when they go look at Georgia's football reference, they're looking at returning starters without George Pickens of nobody having any more than 345 yards receiving in a single season. So at that point, the national media is probably like, yeah, they got some questions at wide receiver. They don't have any, experience. Well, experience, I think, in college football, especially nowadays, is a bit slightly overrated apart from the quarterback position. I think if you got extremely talented people and a really good signal caller and a really good quarterback like Georgia does, then the talent is going to take over at that wide receiver position like I think it's going to this year. They've got plenty of weapons. No excuses not to have an explosive offense this year.
Well, talking with Brooks Austin, he's the lead editor for Dogs Daily at SI.com. And Brooks, is this is the question every Georgia fan asks every day. Is this the year?
I figured you were going to ask me if national title expectations were on the horizon. I think it's reasonable to have those this year. And look, I've said it before. I don't think anyone's walking around that building demanding national title excellence more than Kirby Smart. I mean, this is a competition-aholic. He knows what's going on. He knows that there's been a serious all chips pushed in on 2021 to make this happen. You've got juniors returning at the clip that you did back in 2017 with Chubb and Michelle and Lorenzo Carter and guys like that. You've got, additions from the athletic staff to keep guys like Dan Lanning on that staff, give him the raise to keep him from going to Texas. You've got decisions being made in Athens that are, this is our shot, this is our time to go win a national title. And I don't think, and I know the history of the Georgia fan base, as you said, every year feels like their year. But I don't think those are unrealistic, and you shouldn't shy away from them. You should be comfortable demanding that type of excellence this year from this roster, considering the landscape of college football as well, Chuck. Alabama, brand new quarterback getting mixed in. Clemson, brand new quarterback getting mixed in. Ohio State, they don't even have a starter named yet up there. So the perennial powerhouse programs that you typically meet in January, they're all going through a rebuilding phase while you're going through a phase on your roster where it's, yes, let's do everything we can to add the necessary additions that we need. And now on paper, we have a tremendous, almost foolproof roster and hole-proof roster. Now go out and win. And that's what it is. And like I said, I don't think anybody carries those expectations with more of a reality basis than Kirby Smart. I think he knows what's going on. He's a smart guy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, Brooks, I got to tell you, listening to you, you got us fired up for September 4th, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it, Judge.
It can't get here fast enough now, listening to you talk about the prospects for these dogs and the impact of the 2 5-stars that Kirby reeled in out of the transfer portal and all that's going on campus. And you're right, the support that he's gotten from the athletic department to keep that coaching staff together. It looks like everything's headed in the right direction. We just got to, you know, stay injury-free. But that's what every school in the country is saying right now. So
yeah, my dad used to say injuries are a part of football, just like turnovers on downs and interceptions. I mean, yep. It's bound to happen. You just got to avoid the bad luck strike.
And you got to have somebody waiting in the wings, and it looks like Kirby's stacked that roster to do just that. Brooks Austin, he's the lead editor for Dogs Daily at SI.com. And by the way, follow Brooks on Twitter at BrooksAustinSI. Brooks, thank you so much. We'll catch up with you again, my friend, down the road.
Thank you, Chuck. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Brooks Austin with us here on the Bulldog Roundtable. We're going to take a break. We come back, the guy that I think was the MVP of the 2020 football season for the Georgia Bulldogs. That's next.
Dialed into the Dogs all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on the Fan. This is Bulldog Roundtable with Chuck Dowdle.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Butzmere Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
And welcome back to the Bulldog Roundtable. And our next guest is a guy that, and I'm not alone in this assessment. I fully believe this was the MVP of our 2020 football season. And not just for Georgia, but for a lot of teams in the Southeastern Conference. And now being honored, Ron Corson, our Associate Athletic Director for Sports Medicine. And Ron, congratulations, you and the members of the SEC Task Force that came together and really, I don't think just saved the SEC college football season, but probably set the tone to save the entire college football season across the country. And congratulations, my friend, because it was well-deserved.
Well, thanks, Chuck. I appreciate that.
You're getting the Mike Slive Award, which is not given out every year. It's just given out when the conference deems it justified, and certainly that task force did a great job. What was the biggest challenge, Ron, when all of this came unglued in March of 2020?
That's a great question. There were so many different ones, but I think the biggest one was just trying to sort through all the information and find out, you know, early on, It was so new. It was a novel virus, and we did not know much about it. And I think the first thing was trying to find information and make the right decisions. I have to credit Greg Sankey, who I thought did a phenomenal job with this, first putting the task force together. It was a really diverse group of people from a variety of different backgrounds, and everybody looked at it with different lenses. So I think he gave a great perspective. But I think, you know, rather than panic, we tried to take our time. And quite honestly, sometimes we were the last conference to make some decisions, but that was purposeful because we wanted to make sure we had the right information.
And the information was changing so rapidly during that period of time. And you look back and you don't have to name names, but did you get calls from other conference people, you know, from other conferences and people in your position that would say, you know, gee, looking back now, we wish we'd waited?
We did, and, you know, we really tried to reach out to a lot of different people. We worked with the NFL, with the NBA, with Major League Soccer, with a lot of different professional sports organizations, different position organizations. We brought in consultants on infectious disease and cardiology and really tried to research and make the best medical decisions. But at the end of the day, it's all about the health and safety of student-athlete. And, you know, the two things we said first and foremost is we want to make sure we want to try. We think that's the right thing to do, but we want to make sure that everything is in the best interest of the student-athlete's health and safety. And also, we want to make sure, particularly early on, that we didn't do anything that would adversely impact the communities. Like, for example, we started testing early on, even here in Athens, you know, testing was in short supply. So we want to make sure that anything we did not adversely impact the hospitals, the testing, or just the general public.
And the testing was key. Let's make this clear. I mean, I got tested. You know, I was tested, particularly during basketball season, where I was being tested two or three times a week. And certainly that was when you look back, don't you think that was sort of the thing that enabled you to keep the bubble together?
I do, and not only just the testing, but the type of tests we did. You know, if you looked across the country, there were a lot of different philosophies on testing, you know, with our rapid antigen versus PCR. And I think we had a good system, which worked really well for us across the conference. You know, looking back, I think it was a great accomplishment to be able to play the season and do the things that we did as a conference. But I think the testing was critical, and now we'll move to the next phase with the vaccine. And that's our next area right now. We're really trying to do a lot of aggressive education about the vaccine. We have thresholds we want to try to hit for each team of the conference. And, again, you know, that's a personal decision. But we want to make sure that we do a great job with our student-athletes, our staff, educating them about the vaccine and giving them the right information so they can make that right decision.
Well, I know one of the things that, you know, everybody's so excited about, you know, full capacity, and it sounds like we're just kind of like pushing this behind us. I know you're not one of those. You're taking every step cautiously, even as we approach this oncoming season. Is that not correct?
Yes, we're very optimistic about what's going on, but, you know, we still have things we need to think about. So we're still testing anybody who's not been vaccinated. We're still doing a lot of education. You know, we're slowly dropping some of the restrictions from a social distancing standpoint. But, again, we want to be vigilant about it. We're going to continue to track it. And that's just part of being prudent. We want to, again, my first priority in everything we do is the health and safety of our athletes. And, you know, that's the cornerstone of our program. So we're going to continue to track it. And, you know, things are going to continue to evolve just as they have all year. That's the biggest thing we talked about. COVID has been fluid, and you have to be adaptable and flexible and sort of go with the flow. And that's hard sometimes in sports because everything is so regimented. You know, it's hard to plan a practice all day long, and then, you know, right before practice, you find out that three or four position guys are out, and it sort of blows your schedule. But I think with that, you know, everybody, the student athletes, our coaches, our administrators, everybody worked together and knew there were going to be some challenges, but, you know, we all worked together as a team and were able to have some great results.
Before I let you go, I know at the University of Georgia you got great cooperation from our student athletes, from our coaching staff, from all the auxiliary staff, and I know that that's one of the things that led to the great success. But were there times that you thought, we may not be able to get this done? And I mean, when you looked at the SEC schedule, and there were only two games that were missed out of the entire schedule. That's amazing.
You know, there were always times, you know, when you question, but again, you just keep plugging. And that was the thing that Commissioner Sink was great about. He said, "There's nothing wrong with trying." He said, "We're going to try." And then if you don't make it, you know, you can look back and say we did everything possible. But again, I think that the biggest thing with this, it was just a collective work on everybody's part, and there were so many people involved. But that's the great thing about a team. Just like, you know, what makes a great sport team. Everybody comes together and works toward a common goal. And I think with COVID as well, you know, we had the medical community, the coaches, the student athletes, the parents, everybody came together and wanted to try, and they put their work together, and we had a great result with it.
Well, Ron, Dog Nation's awfully proud of you and the medical staff at Georgia and all the work that y'all did to get us through this. And like I said, you know, we've still got a ways to go here. We're getting everybody vaccinated, but we're moving ahead in the right direction, and that's the great news. Looking forward to a great 2021. But congratulations on being part of this award, the Michael L. Slive Award from the SEC. And it's, like I said, not given out every year, only given out when it's justified. But those of you on that task force that got us through this, certainly deserving, and we appreciate it so much and so proud of you, my friend.
Well, thanks, Chuck. Appreciate you.
All right. That's Ron Corson, our Associate AD of Sports Medicine here at the University of Georgia. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk to another Bulldog legend. That's right after this.
The only Atlanta station broadcasting live from Athens all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
This is Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, and you're listening to the Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan on FM at 93.7. Go Dogs!
Thank you so much, Coach, and welcome back to the Bulldog Roundtable. And just, again, I want to reiterate how deserving Ron Corson is of that Michael L. Slive Award. He's part of that 14-member task force that led the Southeastern Conference through that pandemic last year, playing football and safely, and then only being able to only having two games missed in the conference all season long. And, of course, you know, as we well know, we missed one of them because Vanderbilt was unable to play against Georgia twice and missed two dates to have a game there. So, but nevertheless, Ron and that task force did an incredible job, and our congratulations to him again. I want to tell all of you, too, about something that's coming up that I want you to all make note of this, because our good buddy Buck Blue, who, of course, you can hear every day with Buck and Hutt right here on 680 The Fan, 1-3, the quarterback club, as we like to call it. And he's got a quarterback camp coming up at the end of this month. It'll feature Buck. It'll feature Hudson Mason, Joe Hamilton, of course, who you hear with home team in Hamilton following the Bulldog Roundtable on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And Brian Finneran also, and Hudson Mason will also be taking part. So an opportunity for some young people to sign up and take part in the, of course, the Buck Blue quarterback camp. So looking forward to that and hoping to catch up with Buck here momentarily, because I know he's got a lot of things to talk about with this quarterback camp, but as well also as, you know, he's been very outspoken about how well things have been going for the Georgia football team, and particularly with that Monday start, or I should say Tuesday start, June 1st, when they grabbed Gilbert and Kendrick out of the portal and do so much to bolster two five-star prospects to bolster this this 2021 football team. While we're waiting for Buck, and hopefully we'll be able to catch up with him, there's some things, too, that I want to talk to you about that are coming up down the road. And that is, obviously, we've got the start of the football season on September the 4th, and that's going to be a key one. It's a night game in Charlotte against Clemson. You're going to have two of the top three or four teams, depending on how those final rankings come out before the start of the season. You're going to have, you know, two of the very top teams in the nation, and all of the eyes of the college football nation will be on that game. That's for certain. Now, what we want, and if you were listening on Tuesday, you heard our athletics director, Josh Brooks, talk about this. We want to make sure that we pack those stands in Charlotte. You know, the Georgia Dog Nation has gotten the reputation now of traveling and supporting Georgia football big time on the road. Everybody looks forward to seeing the start of that fourth quarter. Those stands light up, and people across the country can see just how big the following is for Georgia football. And then these players, they talk about it too, about what that support means to them. So when these tickets are out, they're available. Do all that you can to snap them up. Let's see if we're going to listen. We're going to be a little bit of a disadvantage because, you know, Clemson's a little bit closer to Charlotte than we are. But nevertheless, there's no doubt in my mind that the Dog Nation will make that trip the interstate, up I-85 to Charlotte, and pack the stands to open that football season and show the world what Georgia football is all about. So that's one of the things I want to make you aware of. Get those tickets when they're out. But we are, I don't believe, going to be able to catch up with Buck this morning, and I'm sorry about that because really looking forward to hearing from him. And by the way, I'm going to be out next week. Buck will be sitting in for me, and I promise he will be here. Oh, Buck is here. Okay, well, Buck, how are you this morning? Buck, are you there?
Hey, Chuck, what's going on this morning, buddy?
Okay, good. I was just hoping to catch up with you. We were just talking about your quarterbacks camp a little bit earlier. And why don't you tell everybody about it? Because you're involved, Joe Hamilton's involved, Hudson's involved, Brian Finneran. Tell everybody about this camp.
Well, I'm really excited about the staff. Obviously, all these guys working at 680 The Fan with a big-time background in football. So, really excited to be able to share some of the lessons we've learned through the years. And, so it's been a lot of fun being at 680 The Fan working around Joe and Brian and Hudson, obviously. So that's pretty exciting. And then we're going to be coaching up the high school age quarterbacks and wide receivers in the camp. So basically 9th through 12th grade. And you can sign up on the website. We're going to max out on this thing. So I want to encourage anybody interested in coming to learn how to play a better quarterback or a better wide receiver position to check us out on 680thefan.com. And I want to thank our sponsor, too, Infinity of Gwinnett and some other fine sponsors that are making this happen.
Well, and it's on June 26th, too, Saturday, June 26th. So we do want to encourage everybody. You're going to have some top-quality players coming in there to register for this, too.
Well, yeah, we have. And that's been a lot of fun, too, Chuck, is to, get to know some of these guys. And we've been in communication with a lot of them. MJ Morris is one over at Pace Academy. And he's announcing today, by the way. So a big day for Morris family, and we're going to be monitoring that big announcement coming up later today. But it's been awesome. We still have a little bit of room left, and so we're looking for anybody that wants to come out and learn how to play better quarterback, better wide receiver. Just want to thank 680 The Fan too for making this happen.
Before I let you go, Buck, and I got to ask you about your take on what happened on Tuesday with Georgia landing 2 5 stars out of the transfer portal and getting so many kids on campus for the first day of official visits resuming.
Yeah, it was just, sort of an epic day. I think maybe the biggest day in recruiting ever. That day signing Herschel Walker was obviously a big deal. And there have been a lot of great football players come through UGA. But this has been a free agency deal, right? I mean, the times have changed, Chuck. You can move around. You got a little bit of freedom these days and find the right fit. So I think what the deal is JT Daniels woke up again this morning thinking, I've got the best weapons in college football as far as the quarterbacks go. And I know Clemson has some. But I'd say with the addition of Eric Gilbert there at the X wide receiver spot, you got Big Washington on the other side, all these other receivers. I'm sure JT Daniels is thrilled. He can't wait to get out on the field and start working with these guys.
Yeah, Georgia's going to have they're going to have a lot to show off. Todd Monken's got a lot of toys to play with, so I'm sure he's going to have a big camp getting everybody ready for that. Buck, you think this is the year? 1980, you quarterbacked the last one. Is this the year?
Well, we've got what we need personnel-wise, and I'll tell you, the coaching staff got a really outstanding coaching staff, and I think the key, Chuck, I think Kirby's reached the split in the road where he's now ready to open up this offense like some of these other teams have done, Clemson, Alabama, just to name a couple, the teams they have to beat, by the way. I think he trusts JT Daniels and his decision-making process, and because of that trust, I think we're going to see Kirby turn Monken loose, and you're going to see that ball in the air a lot this season.
All right. Well, we got our fingers crossed. Can't wait for September 4th. Buck, thanks so much for taking time for us this morning. Again, Buck and Hutt today at 1, the Quarterback Club right here on 680 The Fan. Appreciate it so much, my friend. That'll do it for this edition of the Bulldog Roundtable. Home Team and Hamilton are next here on 680. Have a great Bulldog Day, everybody.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.